So if you'll open your Bibles to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3 on page 984 of the Church Bibles. We'll be reading verses 1 to 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all, is all, and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Well, it's super nice to be here again and to be able to preach. I've not had opportunity to preach since I was with you last time in October. I think that was for Ezekiel's baptism. So it's nice to be here. I thoroughly enjoyed writing a message today, also because it's a message that has been growing and living in us as a family these last number of months, which then I got to write down into something for today. But it's nice to see you again. It's nice to be with you again. And we look forward to the next 3 months where most of the time we will be here. We have some travel to do, but we'll spend lots of time here. The verses we're particularly going to look at from what Don read are 15, 16, and 17. So let me read them for us once more. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For a variety of reasons, some being security, we don't download our emails onto our computer, but rather we use webmail, and we have Outlook addresses, so we sign into Outlook. And whenever I sign out of Outlook, I'm taken to a news feed of fairly dubious quality, but still I will often read one or two pieces there. And this week, as I signed out of my emails, I was brought to this news feed and read one or two pieces, and then I came across this article titled, "Saying This One Word Will Boost Your Mood by 25%. Wow, that's quite a claim. So anyway, needless to say, I pressed on that link and I came to an article that was quoting researchers from the universities of Pennsylvania, California, and Wharton. And this article says, people who say thank you and express gratitude get a pervasive and long-lasting mood boost. As an added bonus, they say people who say thanks were shown to begin exercising an additional hour and a half each week and experienced fewer symptoms of physical illness. One of these researchers, his name is Robert Emmons, and he has written a book, and the book's title is Thanks: How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier. Well, take that as you will. I'm sure you can find research to back up anything you want. But the article's subtitle was particularly poignant. Saying this one word will boost your mood by 25%. There's one catch. You have to mean it. Well, this week I've been thinking about thankfulness from this little letter of Colossians. And for me, reflecting on something that's been a major deal for us and what God has been teaching these last 2 years. And the reason I turned to Colossians was because I knew that there was this little three-verse cluster that mentioned thanksgiving three times. Chapter 3, verse 15, 16, and 17. There are seven times in the little letter where thanks or thanksgiving are mentioned, but three times just here. And as I dug into this part of the scriptures, even beyond my expectations, Paul sets up thankfulness higher than I even realized. Let's do a brief survey of that passage that Don read for us. The beginning of chapter 3, Paul is saying, this is who you are. He says, you're new in Christ. Your place is that you are hidden with Christ in God. That is what it means to believe in Jesus. That is what it means to have died with Jesus, to have been raised with Jesus. This is what it means to be in Christ, is to be hidden with Christ. That's a protection. But it's an identity that we have. And then Paul uses this imagery of taking clothes off and putting new clothes on to describe what happens when we live as followers of Jesus. And so in verse 5 to 11, there are all these attitudes, these attributes that we need to take off: anger, rage, sexual immorality, lying, these things that Paul is saying, this is what we take off. We don't wear these anymore. And in their place, we put on new clothes. New clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and over all of them, put on love. And then he wraps up with verse 17. In whatever you do, the clothes you take off, the attitude you take off, the immoral behavior you take off, and what you put on, whatever you do, the kindness, the patience, the love, whatever you do, word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Invoke his character. Do it in his name. Do it colored by him. And do it giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we do is to have the color of thankfulness. But by wrapping up the section in this way, Paul is putting thankfulness in the driver's seat of our Christian lives. Of all the other virtues that Paul calls us to in this passage, of all the other virtues that we are called to live out as followers of Jesus, thankfulness is in the driver's seat. Thankfulness is primary. Thankfulness is to be the color of everything we do. Now, I want you to think for a moment. What is the difference between saying thank you and being thankful? What's the difference between saying thank you and being thankful? Can you say thank you without being thankful? Can you be thankful without saying thank you? If someone asked you, what is the difference between saying thank you and being thankful, how would you answer them? Well, living across cultures has been incredibly illuminating for me on this. As any Western kid, English-speaking Western child, I grew up saying thank you. Thank you was a part of my cultural upbringing in my home. My parents required that of us. And it's rude not to say thank you when something is given to you. My parents trained this in me, and it became this automated reflex. I just say thank you when something is given to me. In our home, as we lived in Australia, most evenings for 17 years or so I was married before we went to South Asia, Lydia prepared our food, and I would say thank you afterwards. I appreciated that I didn't have to think about what I was going to be eating. I would help in the kitchen at time to time, but she was the brains behind what we ate, and she prepared it, and it tasted good, and I would say thank you. Now, we're in South Asia, and a friend of mine gives Joy and Annie a packet of chips, and I say, thank you, right? That's what you do when someone gives you something. And his response was, don't say thank you. I'm a friend. And what I learned in that moment as I tried to understand this was that by saying thank you to him, I'm actually indicating that we're not close. That he's not my friend, and that I need to butter him up somehow by saying thank you. Another good friend in South Asia, whose father often traveled to Europe for partnership development and ministry. After some time and his father spending time in Europe, around their meal table at home as children, they were required to say thank you to their mum for the food they ate. And he said it always felt foreign. In a culture where your station, your place in life is much more fixed than here, and doing your duty is much more expected of you, your duty for your station in life, saying thank you to someone who has simply done their duty is odd. It's weird. It doesn't feel right to them. Now, I don't know how many times I said thank you to someone who had done their duty with regard to me, who then said, no, it's my duty. Don't say thank you. You would never hear that in Australia, right? In our part of South Asia, You say thank you to someone who is higher than you in the social pecking order and who has no cultural duty to do anything for you, to help you or to serve you. They are the people that you say thank you to. Someone, by definition, who is relationally distant from you. So, saying thank you in these two different cultures has a very different outcome. So that's saying thank you. What about thankfulness? What does thankfulness look like? Well, my friend whose dad would often travel to Europe, he now is married with two children. He's a little older than we are. And his wife prepares their evening meals. And so I told him, well, this is what I used to do. How do you show thankfulness? Or do you not? How does this work? He doesn't say thank you to his wife. So I said, what do you say? How do you show appreciation? He said to me, I say, the food was good. The food was good. What is that? That's thankfulness without saying thank you. Now, how does that sit with you? Does that feel weird? Thankfulness without saying thank you. This cultural discovery was fascinating for us and also very hard to adapt to. So hardwired to say thank you when I receive something. But here I'm in a place where it actually communicates the opposite of what I wanted it to communicate. But it also pressed in on something else in our Aussie thank you. I asked earlier, can you say thank you without being thankful? And I think the answer is definitely yes. You are giving something to your young child. You don't let go of it, do you, until they've said something. What do you say? Ta, thank you, whatever it is that your child responds to. And we do this, and it's part of their Aussie cultural formation. You say thank you to someone. But when they say thank you, are their hearts full of thankfulness? Probably not. Or are they just learning an important Aussie cultural response? When was the last time that you received something that you didn't want and you said thank you? Probably not that long ago. Was your heart brimming with thankfulness? Probably not. Were you wrong to say thank you? No. What I discovered was that saying thank you can be a perfect way to express Aussie thankfulness, but it also functions simply as a word of cultural politeness. It greases the relational cogs so that we don't bristle so much against one another. It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. It's just a cultural thing. It's just how we do life. But the danger is that because we so automatically say thank you, that we then think that we have been thankful. When we've just been polite. I guess it's okay to be polite to God by saying thank you. We're Westerners. This is what we naturally do. But politeness has nothing at all to do with what Paul is calling us to in Colossians when he talks about thankfulness. And be thankful, he says at the end of verse 15. There are times when we say thankful not because we're overflowing with thankfulness, but because we're Aussie. So what is thankfulness? What is it that Paul is calling us to here in these verses? What is the color that everything is supposed to have from lives of thankfulness? Well, in my mind, I broke this up into three things. Thankfulness is an inward and Godward reality. Thankfulness is an inward and a Godward reality. It is a disposition of our hearts. Verse 16, or is it 15? Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. A year or more ago, I was pulled over by a policeman while I was driving in our city. I had done the wrong thing, and he made me sweat in my seat for a little while. But eventually, he sent me on my way. He said, "You're our guest. Don't do it again." Immediately, I felt relief. Right, the pressure was off. He had talked about impounding cars and all those sorts of things. And anyway, there'd been this build-up while I was waiting for him to return to the car. And when he said, "You can go," there was this very tangible sense of relief. The tension was gone. It turned out okay. And we have that, don't we? If there's been a difficult pregnancy, but in the end, the baby is born well, healthy, mother is well. There's relief. You get a job after you've been looking for work for some time. There's relief. You're not sure how your exams went. You get the results. They came out okay. There's relief. And relief turns into thankfulness when it turns Godward. You see, on its own, relief is simply a me thing. Relief is a, whew, I'm out of there. I'm out of that. Whatever tension there was, it's gone. I'm okay. That's relief. It's got nothing to do with God. But relief turns into thankfulness when it turns Godward. So thankfulness is an inward thing and it's a Godward thing. The second thing as I was thinking about thankfulness is I have this picture in my mind of a pot that is bubbling on the stove. Paul doesn't quite use that image, but in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says this. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Abounding in thanksgiving. Think of a pot that is boiling up and over, and boiling milk fits my imagery really, really nicely. Cooking chai is a daily thing for me. And so I have in my mind a pot of chai that is on the heat, on the stove. And as you're cooking it, you put your tea leaves in and your ginger and your sugar and your milk and it's starting to warm up and it just starts to boil. And then there is this point from which it has just started to boil. Almost immediately, it just starts to seethe. And the heat and the boiling milk just rises. And if you don't turn it off quickly, it boils over and it keeps going. It doesn't stop seething and boiling over until you've turned the heat off. Now, when it comes to milk, you want to turn the heat off because it makes a mess on your stove and it's annoying to have to clean up. But with thankfulness, you don't want to turn the heat off. You want to turn the heat up. You want that thankfulness to be boiling away and seething up and over. Thankfulness is an inward thing. It's a Godward thing. And it's something that under the right conditions boils up and over. So what are those conditions? Well, here's the third thing that I realize. We can't make ourselves thankful. We can't create thankfulness. We can't create it artificially. We can't force ourselves into it. We cannot make ourselves thankful. We can say thank you. We can't make ourselves thankful. Even when we think about Jesus and the biggest indescribable gift that we've received, his death in our place and his resurrection to new life that gives us new life, even for that, we cannot make ourselves thankful. We can only work at cultivating the conditions, the right heart conditions in which thankfulness can bubble over. What are these conditions? What is the heat on which the heart boils over with thankfulness? What is the heat? What are these conditions without which we will simply maintain an outward Aussie cultural politeness? Well, I think the answer lies in our passage. Paul here is talking to a community. So you need to listen with ears of a community, not as an individual. Because this is something we need to do together. In fact, we need each other to help us. But he says in verse 15, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Oh, that's verse 16. In verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the word of Christ dwell. How do you let something happen to you? You're not doing it, are you? Someone else has done something. These are both acts of submission. These are both acts of submission to Jesus where he is doing something. In fact, he's already done it. And we are receiving. You see, the peace of Christ is a reality already. And Paul says, let that rule you. The word of Christ, have it here. And Paul says, let it dwell in you. Allow that. In other words, don't fight it. It's right there. Don't resist it. Don't sabotage it. Don't replace it. Jesus has acted to make his peace and his word available to you. Don't resist. They are the conditions in which thankfulness can bubble over. But what that also tells us is this, that thankfulness is an act of humility. Thankfulness is an act of humility. Proud people can't be thankful. It's impossible. To the extent that pride is in your life, to that same extent, thanksgiving cannot be in your life. Because to say thank you, no, to be thankful requires the admission that someone has done something for you that you could not or did not do yourself. And proud people can't say that. So whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If I today have introduced you to something that is new, it's going to take a while to sink in. It's taken months for it to filter down into our lives, and I'm certainly not there yet. But just remember, you can't force your hearts. You can't force your heart to be thankful. It can only happen to you. So here's my suggestion for you. It's to take one or two things that I've said today, just one or two, and talk to someone about it. Just have a conversation. What did you think? How did you respond? How do we say thank you as Aussies? That's just politeness. And ask yourself, or let me ask you, do you have someone in your life who can safely ask you, was that pride that I saw there? Or what would a posture of submission look like in this situation? Because we're wanting to cultivate the conditions, aren't we? The thankfulness to bubble over. Or is there someone who could ask you this question? If the peace of Christ and the word of Christ were completely ruling you now, what would change? What would change in this situation? What would change in your response to this situation? Within your cell groups, home groups, Bible study groups, whatever groups you might have, can you ask these sorts of questions of each other? Remember, Paul's talking to community because he knows we can't do this on our own. There's no quick way to make thankfulness a real thing in your life. There's no way you can force it, but you can cultivate it. And we have everything. Of all the people in this world, we have everything to be thankful for because we have Jesus. Let's pray.